This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. West Virginia would mostly follow the lead of federal environmental officials under the latest draft of proposed water quality standards setting limits on pollution that enters the state's streams and rivers. The Charleston Gazette-Mail reports the State Department of Environmental Protection responded to nearly 200 pages of comments following a July public hearing. The agency-approved rules now go to the Legislative Rulemaking Committee for review and then to the full legislature for the 2019 session. The rules can be altered at any time along the process. The rules are up for review every 3 years. The new rules will comply with changes already passed in the 2017 legislative session to the way the state handles overlapping mixing zones and harmonic mean flow, both which would allow increased levels of toxins into the water. Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin didn't show up to the state's premier political speaking event in Fancy Farm, Kentucky last weekend. His absence came as his favorability rating hit a new low, and rumors swirl over whether he will seek re-election next year. Meanwhile, Kentucky Democrats are trying to claw their way back into power, but are at a historic low point of registered voters and elected offices in the state. Rylan Barton has this review of Fancy Farm and the Super Bowl of Kentucky politics.
For years, Bevin has expressed distaste for Kentucky's signature political event, which encourages politicians to roast their opponents in front of a rowdy audience of hecklers in western Kentucky. Ken Mattingly is a Republican who drove in from Georgetown to the picnic. He really wanted to see Bevin.
I think he should be down here. I was looking forward to his message. I like the governor because he's a problem solver, but sometimes you got to get out and meet with people.
Mattingly is a state employee. He works for a drug court in central Kentucky. He wants Bevin to run again.
And I appreciate what he's doing with the pensions because he's funding the pensions. For the first time in a long time, we've got a politician, we've got a governor who's being responsible to the workers of the state, to the retirees of the state, and he's trying to solve the problem.
Then there's Mattingly's friend, Kathy Lucy, a court worker from Hickman at the tip of the toe of western Kentucky. She's got two boys, one of whom is about to graduate college, and she's steering them away from working in state government.
At this point, I'm telling my oldest, don't work for the state of Kentucky because I can't promise, you know, what you're going to get.
Over the past decade, state lawmakers have gradually weakened pension benefits for new workers. This year, the legislature and Governor Bevin passed a law that moves future teachers out of a conventional pension plan and into 401k-style retirement plans. That's triggered an onslaught of protests from educators like Kirk Haynes, a teacher from Owensboro Public Schools.
I wouldn't have been a teacher who thought that I was politically active until I realized I needed to pay more attention to the retirement system that I'm a part of, and that listening to older teachers tell stories about the work conditions in Kentucky's public schools, and I'm like, now it's my turn.
Hundreds of teachers showed up to Fancy Farm this year. Besides Bevin's general distaste for the event, it's likely a contributing factor to why he didn't show up. And Bevin's absence triggered some low-key digs from a Republican rival, U.S. Representative Jamie Comer, who lost to Bevin in a primary race by just 83 votes a couple years ago.
TJ and I want to thank all the teachers all across Kentucky who worked so hard and deserve the respect of our highest elected officials.
Bevin made several inflammatory statements about teachers over the last year, including a claim that teachers left their students vulnerable to sexual assault by protesting in Frankfort. And Democrats like Attorney General Andy Beshear pounced at the opportunity to roast Bevin without any rebuttals.
If you're not willing to come down here where my family roots are to western Kentucky to see all of our families, I think it's time you move back to New Hampshire.
Beshear is the only politician who's tossed a hat in the ring for next year's gubernatorial race, but there are a lot of other Democrats waiting in the wings, like Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes.
Speaking of Matt Bevin, a lot of people can't see him winning in 2019. Even the Republicans don't have nice things coming out of their mouths about him. That's because he took away both their vision and dental insurance.
Though they still outnumber Republicans, Democrats are at a historic low point of registered voters in the state. Last month, they dipped below the 50% point for the first time ever. And the party lost control of the state House of Representatives for the first time in nearly a century during the 2016 elections, giving Republicans control of both legislative chambers and the governor's mansion for the first time in state history. Bevin hasn't said whether he'll seek re-election. He has until January 29th of next year to decide. I'm Ryland Barton in Fancy Farm.
Federal regulators have ordered all construction of the Mountain Valley Pipeline to stop, at least temporarily. Brittany Patterson has more.
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, sent a letter Friday to pipeline officials ordering all construction of the 303-mile natural gas pipeline to stop. The order comes after a decision last week by the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals that invalidated federal permits granted by the Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Forest Service. The court ruled that those permits, which allowed the pipeline to be constructed through the Jefferson National Forest, did not fully consider the environmental impacts of the project. Although the recent ruling only affects 3.6 miles of the Mountain Valley Pipeline's route, FERC told pipeline developers that until new permits are issued, all construction must stop. The agency said it expects new federal permits to ultimately be issued, but noted it's unclear how quickly that will happen and if the same route will be approved. Until then, only work necessary to stabilize any ongoing construction can continue. Environmental groups that oppose the pipeline cheered FERC's decision. Mountain Valley Pipeline spokeswoman Natalie Cox said in a statement that the developers disagree with the agency's stop work order and said they will continue to work closely with regulators to resolve the issues. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Areas of fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny, some scattered rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s and low 90s. Chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s. West Virginia 511 is reporting a vehicle accident on Interstate 64 westbound at mile marker 30 near Hurricane. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the Ligonier Valley Historical Society's Compass Inn Museum, presenting the 18th Century Militia Living History Weekend, August 18th and 19th, with demonstrations of daily living activities and guided tours of the inn. More at compassinn.org. The farm bill being debated in Congress could have significant effects well beyond farms, including on our own waterways. Over the years, wetlands have been stripped and drained to grow crops. A program funded by the farm bill pays farmers to conserve wetlands, and more farmers are looking to take flood-prone land out of production. As Nicole Irwin reports, that's becoming more important in the Ohio Valley as floods become more frequent.
West Kentucky farmer Judy Wilson says her family is a bit of a sundry bunch.
Of course, we're kind of a mixed breed. We love the farm, but we also love all the nature.
Wilson is driving down a backcountry road that divides two fields. To the left is her soybean crop, and to the right is 102 acres that she's placed in the Wetland Reserve Enhancement Program, something her husband always wanted.
So after he died, my daughter and I, we decided to go for it. But that's low ground, and so that all would flood.
WREP is a U.S. Department of Agriculture program funded through the Farm Bill. It offers landowners the opportunity to protect and restore wetlands on their property. Landowners like Wilson are paid per acre to take farmland out of production forever.
It's always been flooding, but it does seem like more because it seems like more land has been maybe cleared, and so it's affecting more land.
The more land that is cleared, the more likely the area will flood. But to what degree? Murray State University was recently awarded $1.36 million by the National Resources Conservation Service and the Nature Conservancy to explore the impact of wetland restoration, from local habitat protection to flood control to reducing the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico. Howard Whiteman is the principal investigator on the project with Murray State.
There hasn't been a study that has been comprehensive in terms of understanding what the impacts of the program is on either the watershed itself or on the water that ends up down in the Gulf of Mexico.
A lack of oxygen in water caused by nitrates from agricultural, industrial, and urban runoff creates areas where marine life struggle to survive. The Gulf of Mexico has the second largest hypoxic zone in the world. Murray State biologist Michael Flynn wants to better understand how the water drained from the Mississippi River into the Gulf is filtered by the soil.
So we want to know, what is the concentration of nutrients that exists in that water when it starts to flood? And then what is the concentration of the nutrients in that water when it goes back out into that channel after that restored wetland has had a chance to chew on it?
The Pew Charitable Trust reports flooding is the fastest growing, most costly type of natural disaster in the U.S., and that parts of the Ohio Valley are affected more by flash flooding than anywhere else in the country. As waterways have been channeled to work with farms and ditches, it's removed some of the natural twists and turns that regulate momentum in streams that some wildlife depend on, like the relic darterfish that lives in the Bayou de Chelly, a waterway within the Mississippi floodplains. Shelley Morris is project lead for the Nature Conservancy.
It's endemic. It's not found anywhere else in the world except in the upper watershed of Bayou de Chelly, which is really interesting. By taking these lands and putting them back into conservation cover, providing habitat, providing better, cleaner water, we're impacting everything.
While the House version of the 2018 Farm Bill could cut nearly $800 million in overall conservation easements, both the House and Senate appear to increase funding for the Wetland Enhancement Program. According to Kellis Moss, Director of Policy for Ducks Unlimited, those funds will be more competitive for future applications into the program.
Demand for wetland reserve easements have been through the roof and continue to be. I think a lot of producers realize that they are struggling to make a profit off of some of this wetland that keeps getting flooded, you know, over and over.
This is where researchers like Shelley Morris hope science can help by determining what type of land in the future is best to enroll.
Is this type of land better than that type of land to enroll into the program? Where are you getting the most bang for your buck? Everybody's operating with limited dollars, whether it's the federal government or the nonprofits or whoever. So where can we best spend our dollars to get the most conservation impact?
Farmer Judy Wilson says instead of soybeans, eventually her wetlands will be lush with nut trees, deer, and waterfowl like the great blue heron, ducks, and bald eagles.
Look how pretty that is. And one day we came up here and there were like 25 eagles all sitting around out there, because when the water goes down, the fish that are in there are just left high and dry, and the eagles were just having a buffet.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Nicole Irwin in West Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Governor Jim Justice has appointed an interim director for the Division of Justice and Community Services as part of a restructuring of the agency. The Charleston Gazette-Mail reports that Joe Thornton has replaced Rick Staton, who led the DJCS since July 2014. Thornton is a former cabinet secretary of the Department of Military Affairs and Public Safety, which oversees DJCS. DJCS serves as a planning agency for criminal justice programs in West Virginia. The division is responsible for overseeing federal grant programs related to West Virginia's criminal justice system. Lawrence Messina, a spokesman for the Military Affairs and Public Safety Department, says the administrative change fits into the department's efforts to streamline services, especially in the wake of legislation from this past session that restructured correction services in the state. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.